We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapture, Nixon with you. With opening day tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium, we'll be broadcasting there outside of Gate D. And also, don't forget to stop by our friends over at Rally House before you head out to the stadium. And maybe you're heading out this weekend for some baseball. It's going to be a beautiful weekend in Kansas City weather-wise as well. And make sure you get stocked up on that Royals gear. Maybe the brand new Bobby Wood Jr. jersey, Cole Reagan's jersey, new hoodie, whatever it may be. Always good to get some new Royals gear to kick off the start of a season, and Rally House is the spot to do that. No matter where you are in town, we were out at Independence earlier today, but wherever you are in the city, and we appreciate the folks over at Rally House who got us all set up this morning. We just had, unfortunately, some technical issues. That's why if you were planning on stopping by today, obviously we're not out there, and we'll hopefully be there in the future.
But if you need your stuff for the K tomorrow, like you said, there was a lot of great stuff. I saw some two-toned, like that windbreaker material, like if you're thinking light jacket tomorrow. Because it's 66 gold, bought a hoodie last year before it. Those City Connect jerseys, I think I'm going to pop for one of those eventually.
Those are popular. Very, yeah. Very popular.
Yeah, look. Whatever it is. By the way, you sent us a photo, and I'm looking at it. Jaden Daniels from his pro day?
It's not from his pro day. It's just the photo that... So Ian Rappaport put out following his pro day, LSU quarterback is scheduled to meet with like the Patriots, Commanders, whatever. And the photo Rappaport used, I think, is from a game, but Jaden Daniels is throwing the ball, and
looks like his arm is disconnected.
Elbow, like... Like it's pointed, like it's, someone said it's a bursa sac issue or whatever on his elbow that needs to, like, had inflammation or something that caused that. But yeah, I don't know how you throw a football with that. And it makes it look like his elbow is pointed out while the arm is in a different direction. Like it almost looks like a pixelated photo because of how, like, you're like, what?
You know that's my exact elbow issue that LDT diagnosed. I've had this injury. How the hell is he throwing a football? I wanted to cut my arm off for brushing my teeth when I had that injury.
Yeah, so some like Twitter doctor, but an actual doctor, did say the inflammation of the bursa is empty and there protect the bone. And he's saying that he's dealing with Operation Bursitis. And it's an old photo, so who knows? The elbow might be fine by now. I'm sure teams would have mentioned if they were concerned, but the photo's weird. It looks kind of nasty. Anyway, that was the photo I sent you guys.
It's pretty gross, man.
During the break.
Pretty gross.
All right, before we get to what the NCAA is trying to do today, and surprisingly, I actually agree with it. They're just the wrong messenger and body to try to make it happen. The offense last year in Kansas City finished 14th. Chiefs offense finished 14th in the NFL based on points per game, 22.2. If they were to move into the top five, they would have needed 4.8 points per game more just to be top five, needed 1.4 more per game to get to top 10.
That's nothing.
That's not a big deal.
The 5 points, that's not an insignificant number.
And when they were first back in 2022, they were scoring 29.2 points per game. So far, when you look at the offseason they've had, knowing that free agency is still going on and they have a draft, how much better do you think they can actually be just with what they have currently? And let's know that they're probably going to draft a wide receiver at some point or maybe bring in another veteran. But top 10 still seems so achievable, right? They were 1.4 points per game away, and that was with the most drops in the NFL last year.
Yeah, I was thinking about it because I don't want to just blindly give them the credit the way I did before, because now I've seen what it looks like when it's bad, right? Okay. It's the first mediocre Chiefs offense I have seen, which is what they were, Gold, for a large majority of the season. Very mediocre. But come on, they're not going to be worse than 10th, right? I already think they're better than that. If you ask me pre-draft, where are they offensively? If they had to go play a football game in 2 weeks from today, they are a top 10 offense with Hollywood Brown. I'm not willing to jump to top five yet because I think a huge portion of the they are top five is reliant on the idea that Hollywood Brown plays. Do you see? Like, I think they'd be top 10 rolling out with the normal amount of injury risk. If I presume Hollywood Brown is healthy, then they are a top five offense. They were the number one offense in the league 2 years ago.
Well, touchdowns
with Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS and Justin Watson and everyone else in between.
Well, and touchdowns is where Hollywood Brown had thrived. We pulled up when he got signed a week or two ago, his touchdown numbers, and compared it with even some of the other guys that had signed with some teams this offseason. I mean, that's an area where he excelled. Yes, the health has been a question mark, but I just look at the drops that they had. So they bring, like, Hollywood Brown, they bring him in and should be an upgrade even over MVS before, but definitely over last year's MVS because it was a complete mess of a season for him. And so when you're thinking about all the drops, not only how many drops were just directly on potential touchdown plays, like the deep passes, the MVS, but how many were drive killers? How many stalled out drives because someone dropped a pass? Or how many times did, you know, against the Lions, right, where a pass is batted up in the air and led to a points the other way? I think even that stuff being cut out, you know, correlates to more points. Even if it's not Hollywood Brown getting 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, it doesn't have to be that for points per game to be up. It's, can he make the plays that NFL wide receivers should make and not lead to stalling out drives because it drops? I'm not saying he's never going to drop a pass next year, but if the drops,
he probably will. Although he has a great drop rate.
He does. But if drops go down significantly as a team, then I think that's the biggest thing right away to fix the points per game that led you to being the 14th best offense and all of a sudden can get you back in the top 10 and maybe flirt with top five.
Yeah. And that's what matters. Look, I mean, if you look at their history, Gold, they're more likely to be a top five offense than out of the top 10 by a mile. Matter of fact, they're more likely to be a top five offense than any other version of their offense. In every year except this one, they were top five 3 of the last 5 years. They were top 6 4 of the last 5 years, with the one exception being last year. That's what was so confounding about last year. If you look at post Tyreek Hill, it's not like that Juju Smith-Schuster year. How are they the number one scoring offense that year and 14th last year? How did you take that kind of dip? And a lot of it is very simple. On drives in which you were supposed to get points, you didn't, because your players couldn't hold on to the football, made massive mistakes that ended drives altogether. I think they're immediate a top 10 offense just by stepping on the field. Hell, honestly, even if they didn't sign Hollywood Brown, because they would have at least had an established Rashee Rice to go with what they have in addition to their offense. If they add another wide receiver, either through free agents or through this, I'm immediately putting them in the top 3. They had one veteran wide receiver or take a first round wide receiver, this is a top 3 offense. It's automatically better than last year's, which, by the way, gives you a lot of wiggle room on the defense, doesn't it?
Yeah, in the defense, even if the defense falls back from first or second to ninth, all of a sudden your offense is top 5 and your defense is top 10. You're good to go.
You add Mahomes to it,
you're good to go.
That's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're good to go. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. I know they traded Snead, but by keeping Chris Jones, that still allows you, in my opinion, to have a chance to still be a top 5 defense even. But if you slip a little bit, which is a possibility, you're still looking really, really good. This is why this team, once again, has a chance to not only a repeat, but go for a three-peat. And has, you know, the second best odds to win the Super Bowl. It's always just funny that they don't even have the best odds. That's just, at this point, it's something I just laugh at whenever I see it. It's just how on earth they can't have the best odds to win it next year is hilarious, especially when the team that does is the team they just beat in the Super Bowl that hasn't really changed anything.
They can put somebody else's the odds on favorite. I don't care. Have fun with that. Let's see how many times that's played out. What's funny is the Chiefs are the only team that fights this regularly. Like, teams don't usually win it when they're the Super Bowl favorite before the season. Chiefs have done that. Teams don't normally win it when they've got the league's MVP. Chiefs did that. They are still a break for whatever the normal stats will tell you exists with the team. Because the truth is, when we looked at this, the odds of being a Super Bowl champion when you had the 14th best scoring offense in the NFL were not good. You were not supposed to be a Super Bowl champion if your offense was that bad. Matter of fact, it was easier to overcome a bad defense than it was to overcome a mediocre offense. Yeah. And did it matter? No, because when the playoffs hit, were they the 14th best offense in the playoff hit? Let's say there were 14 playoff teams. Based on game 1, game 2, game 3, were they ever the 14th best offense in that group? Hell no. They played as like the second best offense in the entire postseason run.
As you said,
that's
that,
why.
But as you said, I mean, they come playoff time, the team has consistently played better football.
Yes.
As you were saying, I mean, even in 2019, like we always talked throughout those seasons, as you were laying out a little bit, the defenses, are they good enough and all that? And come playoff time, Spagnuolo had the defense playing at a higher level than when they were 18th or whatever, you know, whatever their rank was. And so that's coaching, by the way. That's also just having the right guys in the locker room in terms of wanting it more and knowing what it takes to win at that level when it matters and everything is on the line.
Correct.
And that's something that you can talk about signing players. You can't teach that. You can't coach that. You have guys, the way that, you know, Kelce is built or Mahomes is built and Andy's built from a competitive standpoint, that's something you either have it or you don't have it. And they find that extra gear when it matters most. And that's also why we're sitting here talking about them having a chance to three-peat. Here's someone on the text line says the Niners are the favorites because they got Brandon Staley as their defensive
coordinator. It's a great point. That's why the Chargers were the favorites for a while.
Yes.
And now they got to toss it over to the Niners as they're the favorite. Is anyone going to pick the Chargers to win the division this year?
Of course someone will. Not on this show, I can tell you that. I can't speak for all the other shows on the station, but I know
we did put up a billboard with
Drew. Maybe Drew will. I don't know. I thought all three of us would understand that that's probably not a smart thing to do.
But I think middle of the year this year.
You are taking the Chargers.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I do understand that is. I do understand.
We'd be taking the Bengals to win the AFC North. Don't be a homer. Just think about it. Objectively.
I don't like betting futures because I don't know if it's just the...
Goes that way sometimes. He doesn't like a ton of futures.
Well, I don't know
Go ahead.
It's not for that reason.
For the payoff.
That and just seeing it in the app is very... I don't know if that's like an ADD thing or whatever, but I am very... I don't like seeing...
You want
like,
a clean betting sheet. You don't like seeing that bet just sitting there.
I made a future bet that Baylor would win the region. They didn't win, but it's still sitting in the... active.
Oh, you mean you just don't like having it in your profile? Yes.
It's like a red notification. Yes. He doesn't like the red text dot.
I don't like it.
No, I mean, which is weird. Tomorrow we'll talk on the show. I mean, for Royals futures bets, and we'll give out some more bets tomorrow on the show. I mean, I have multiple Royals futures bets. I got Bobby Wood Jr. stolen base bet, a Reagan strikeout bet. So I even have some college football playoff futures for next year.
That might be the only thing that I do is college football over under win totals that I keep in there.
Thinking of betting, while we're talking about it, we might as well discuss what about over under your favorite rebounds college player points, rebounds, or whatever, right? Those are prop type of bet. Hunter Dickinson over 15 and a half points or whatever it may be. That's something that already is not legal in quite a few states.
Specifically, though, for the teams that are in that state.
So there's two different ones. Sometimes, like, Illinois didn't even allow you to bet on it, like, not even any props. So you can't bet on the Fighting Illini to win a game in Illinois. Then you have some states like Ohio and others that don't let you bet on any college sport for a player prop. But you can bet on Ohio State to win. You just can't bet on the player prop. So in Ohio, they can't bet on Hunter Dickinson over 15 and a half. So anyway,
in Kansas
you can. But the NCAA wants to ban it across the board. And a lot of this has to do with some of the stories coming out about threats that student athletes have gotten in their DMs and things like that. This might surprise you, as I said earlier, because you guys know I'm very much pro sports betting and I think it should be legal in every state and let people decide. I actually don't hate this idea. Now, the NCAA, I think it's a joke that they're trying to suddenly get involved.
Yeah.
But in general, I actually kind of agree that when you have 19-year-old kids in a college sport, it's way easier to, quote, get to them. And I'm not even just talking about through DMs, like harassing, which is awful. I'm talking about from the integrity part of it. It's a lot easier to a college athlete versus a pro athlete because of the financial implications that are at stake. So I don't hate this at all. If you told me suddenly it happened, there's some of you I know would be very disappointed. But this is one of the restrictions that I wouldn't be fully against.
My biggest fear would be the Jonte Porter thing. And I know that was an NBA situation. But we know that the reason that if what Jonte has been accused of doing actually got done is because he makes $400,000. There's an amount of money gold in which you can convince. There's an amount of money in which you can convince someone to throw a game. Okay. Now, if you're Ja Morant, not enough. College athletes make a lot in NIL, but they don't make so much that there's not an amount of money they can be tempted by. The threats stink. I don't like those. It's gross that people threaten high school kids over recruiting. The problem is, I don't think this rule is going to get rid of that. Like, I'd like to think that that's what it is for the greater good. My whole problem with college athletes on that regard is every professional has to deal with that, and I think college athletes are professionals now. Sorry. You get paid millions of dollars in a lot of cases. You get big endorsement deals. Maybe you can go to these tournaments. They're essentially pros. And if you're essentially a pro, it stinks to have this be a part of the thing you deal with. But I don't know if you need to outlaw it just for that reason. You know?
So
I'd be more worried about the first thing you had mentioned.
Right. I mean, for me, if we're going to disagree on it, I don't want them to ban it. I would understand. And if you're going to say, well, then don't ban player props, well, then you need to do what Ohio actually has considered, which is actually put forward legislation that makes it a much stiffer penalty for those that are harassing.
Sure. I'm through fine. DMs. That, like that,
if you
want to
say
that,
hey, yeah, let's not ban college prop bets, I'm kind of with you, but I understand why they would. Can we try something else first? Sure. And Ohio has tried. I don't know if it's passed yet, but at one point they put out there, they wanted to make, if you're sliding into a college athlete's DM and threatening them,
I'll kill you because you didn't hit my prop. Yeah, they should be punished legally.
There's legislation out there that would ban them from betting, period, again, on platforms. It would put them on like an exclusion list. Yeah. And there would be, you know, potentially some criminality involved and fines.
All of those things. Because someone like Tino over on Twitch said, hey, are you saying harassment's okay? No. No, obviously not. I would prefer that, but this is the utopian world thing we talk about a lot of things on this show. I would prefer that no athlete ever get harassed under any circumstance for wins or losses or points or goals. But it also happens everywhere for every professional sport. And if we are to ban college basketball because a kid's ban betting props on college basketball because a kid's getting harassed, then you have to ban props for every sport. Because if you think LeBron doesn't also get harassed because he doesn't hit his prop, that's just not realistic. What you're saying, I like. I like the idea of making it punishable. Dana Wright over on KBZ, and she talked about this on her show, she received several threatening text messages into the show about her, threatening her safety. She then filed a police report and accused them of, you know, like threatening assault, and they got in trouble for it. I think that absolutely, if you send those kinds of messages to any athlete, college or otherwise, or if they send them to you, Gold, because they don't like our show, you should have some legal recourse from people threatening you. Yes.
I look, by the law I've mentioned in Ohio did already pass. So they passed it last year that targets anyone who is already threatened an athlete and bans them from gambling. That's what that law in Ohio did. That I think is something that should be an obvious thing.
Ban from gambling because they can't handle it.
But we'll see what happens.
I think part of it too, I don't know if it's because, and I know that they are considered pros by a lot of people. They're considered employees, but the fact that they are under 21, I don't know if that has anything to do with the threatening part of it. But they're kids, you know. They're not.
It's gross.
It's not adults that are. And the kids.
But by
that
same thing, should we just make high school recruiting illegal? Do you know how many people get threats for just? Choosing a different college?
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes.
It's awful. People shouldn't do it.
I mean,
but like,
I would argue, harassment in general is against them. I mean, you can't be harassing people. I mean, there are.
Yeah. talking about, like, taking it out of the betting sphere and also giving yourself some more legal recourse, that's important.
It's still that the NCAA is trying to hold on to that also. The amateurism side, they're still trying to hang on to that aspect as to why they're reasoning to do it, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm for stiffer penalties for those that are harassing student-athletes. I think the banning the college prop thing, the only, much like when we've discussed legalizing sports wagering anyway, there will be people that still just go bet on Bovada, and they're still going to be just as pissed off.
Yeah. Agreed.
But it doesn't mean you don't try to do things to.
It doesn't mean
make
you don't try to slow
atmosphere.
It down. It's the same thing.
We'll see.
Just because it's illegal doesn't mean, or they're banned from doing it, doesn't mean they won't do it. But it also doesn't mean you shouldn't kick them out from doing it.
There was a moment. I don't know if this was about betting or not, but somebody had like said something to one of the Texas A&M players, and they were going back and forth.
I saw that.
The guy was like, "Show me 20 bans."
Yeah, because someone was calling out a player for sucking in the game or whatever, and then the
player
responded.
Show me 20
bands,
I don't know.
I just don't respond to haters in your
game.
Easier said than done.
Especially for...
Yeah, you put yourself in that spotlight. It's easy for us. Like, just ignore it as an athlete. I'm sure it's very difficult to do.
All right, we got a mock draft. Not only any sort of mock draft, but a seven-rounder, Miller.
Seven-round mock team?
I'm going to turn my mic off and just go through all seven rounds.
Okay.
All 300.
I'm not
going
to know
picks,
after the first player, maybe the second. I'm not going to know who any of these people are. So, all right, let's hear it.
Well, I'm going to give you the Chiefs seven-rounder, and then we'll sprinkle in some other.
Okay, please don't give me all seven rounds for every team.
I'm not doing that.
That would suck.
At number 32, Matt Miller's got the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy.
OK, Okay,
wide receiver out of Texas.
All right.
Second rounder. This one's a little bit more interesting. Safety Javon Bullard from Georgia in the second round. He cites the loss of Snead, also says he's got tools that remind Chiefs fans of Tyrann Mathieu.
Taking plenty of second round safeties before, so that's not out of the question, right? Brian Cook a couple of years ago, Juan Thornhill a year before that. Okay.
And Justin Reed, as of right now, is in the final year of his deal.
Sure.
Makes some sense. Also, he referenced Spags too, of course, his ability to, you know, coach up the DBs. And in the third round, defensive tackle, Dwayne Carter from Duke. That's pick 95.
Not a single tackle yet.
No offensive lineman.
No guard, no tackle.
Hopefully he thinks they're signing a veteran tackle.
As a matter of fact, I'll give you this teaser. There is not a single offensive lineman drafted by the Chiefs in this mock draft.
Interesting, Matt
Fourth
Miller.
Round, Will Shipley running back out of Clemson, a guy that is really solid.
Fourth,
a good,
that's right in the sweet spot.
A good guy out of the backfield.
Can he catch? I like a good catching back.
Yes, he's gotten a little bit better at that over the course of his career in Clemson.
That's not a little bit better. It is not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear he was like, you know.
I mean, his best skill.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's shifty. Anyways, fifth round, they get 2 fifth-round picks the Chiefs do. Cornerback Daquan Hardy out of Penn State. They said he's more of a role-fill guy. You never know how good he could be because of Spags as the coach.
Sure.
Other fifth-round guy, another D lineman, Logan Lee out of Iowa. Kling might like that one, fifth rounder. And then this one is interesting because he mentions the kickoff rule in the seventh rounder, safety Tyler Owens out of Texas Tech. He could be a threat with the new kickoff rules, and also said he's the favorite player team fit prospect in the seventh round that he did.
And they're the top of the seventh. They get whoever they want in the seventh round. That's because of that Legarius Sneed trade, which still isn't official.
The seventh round.
You never know. Because of Pacheco.
You can talk me into anybody in the seventh round. It can't be a star. Don't you hate
on this mock draft.
Will Shipley, I was going back to him for a second. 5'11", 206. Here's what NFL Network says. Versatile running back, talent as a runner, receiver, and kick returner. Possesses early speed, allowing him to whip through creases and outrun linebackers.
Whip through creases.
Very, very, right. Very shifty. Hmm.
Okay.
Standout football, lacrosse, and track athlete in high school. Ankle flexibility. Making bold cuts at acute downhill angles.
Mm. Okay, wait.
What? Weakness? How hands aren't very natural or smooth.
That's what I said. He got better.
Got better. Someone's got to catch the damn ball out of the backfield. Pacheco's gotten better at it, but...
May I present to you a guy named J.K. Dobbins, who I've been mentioning for a month. He's got a terrible injury history, but you take a flyer, and I saw Tom Pelissero on the last day put out that, of course, the doctor that cleared him for activities wrote in his letter to teams, he looks outstanding coming off a torn Achilles. He averages 5.8 yards per carry in his career.
It's important to note that the person who said he looks outstanding was his agent.
How old is he, 28?
No, it was his doctor.
27?
His agent's putting it out there. I think the doctor said it, but his agent's making sure everybody knows what the doctor said. Dobbins is 25. He'll be 26 in December, so 25 all year, basically. Injury history, but that's why you take a flyer. You're not bringing him in and think he's going to be the guy.
That's why you still take Will Shipley. You give yourself a three-back.
I would love Dobbins.
Group and you'd be good.
Someone says, how's the knee bend for Will Shipley? That's a great question. That is a fantastic question.
I usually care about that. Bend is what I care about in defensive ends more than
I don't know, man.
Backs.
I really care about the ankle flexibility. That's where I'm
ankle
at now.
Ankle flexibility.
Just to throw out a couple more from that the first round, no surprise, it's quarterback.
What's
first
the
four
order?
Picks.
Williams.
Caleb Williams, 1. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, 2. Drake May to the Vikings at 3, and then J.J. McCarthy to the Denver Broncos at 4.
Okay.
Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Chargers.
I mean, that'd be a pretty good fit.
Yeah. All right, coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to what's trending and also the news the Royals announcing today with their ballpark district plan that had some people talking. Also see some photos out of the K from Annie Rodgers and others who are there because workouts going on, and we were wondering what's going to happen with the Pepsi party porch because they're going Coca-Cola. It's gone.
It's not is it the Coke party porch?
No, so there's no signage. It does have, there's a giant QT in the outfield now, in right field. There's a giant QT, and...
It's the QT fountain deck, it appears.
No. It's a different spot. The QT's in the outfield, but not where the Pepsi thing was. That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
But there's Quick Trip, QT. It says QT Fountain Deck. Yeah, actually,
yeah,
it does.
I think it is.
It does say QT Fountain Deck. It's not, it's on a digital board. The actual QT sign is
it'll
in the
always
outfield.
Be the Coke Party Porch to me. As a matter of fact, I'd like
QT
our friends at Ray Gun to make
Fountain
a shirt that says,
deck.
Would you guys buy a shirt that said Coke Party Porch?
And
913-586-7610.
Yeah, so QT Found Deck digital sign, and then you'll have an actual QT logo in right field. The same size as, like, you know, like the Remax balloon in left field?
Uh-huh.
The QT, but in right field.
Oh, okay, cool.
There you go. It's still got the Blue Moon signage and all that.
I love getting back out to the...
Tomorrow, we're going to be outside Gate D.
First time for the year. Feels...
And it's going to be good weather, so I'm fired up for that. And up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk more about future plans, and could this be one of the final three or four opening days out of Kauffman Stadium, with the stadium project being proposed for the vote on Tuesday? And news from the Royals today. We'll let you know what that is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topic. Trending.
Number one on what's trending. Opening day tomorrow at a Kauffman Stadium. We'll be broadcasting outside Gate D starting at 10 a.m. Parking lot opens at 9. Stadium gates open at noon. They'll have a little pregame concert at 1 o'clock. First pitch at 3:10 right here on 610 Sports Radio. Remember, first 30,000 get the Bobby Wood Jr. bobblehead. And tomorrow on the show, we'll have Ryan LaFever. We'll have JJ Piccolo, Josh Vernier. Who knows who else is going to stop by. Looking forward to it. Going to be a beautiful day out at Kauffman. And yes, they have new hot dog provider, because we were joking about that. We got some hot dogs sent to us from their...
Trying to figure out how to divvy them up,
Chicago.
Dude. It's a nightmare.
I think you're just going to have to take it. I'll let you grow them for your kids. There's like 20 hot dogs, and we can't really split them
up.
Hot
dogs for the tap house tonight, I guess.
I'm going to grill 20 hot dogs in my house or
how
my apartment.
How many people are you inviting over?
I'd have to have at least three people,
but
minimum.
You could, if you just had like hot dogs and chips and a salad, you could eat two hot dogs. So maybe 10 minimum, you know, the first 20 in there.
Something like that. But anyway, so they have that, and the QT has got their new signage out there. We saw some photos we were joking about. And Coca-Cola, Team Coca-Cola.
Same. Coke Party Porch is what it's called in this show. Although we do support
it's the QT Found Porch.
Yeah, I like Quick Trip. There's no doubt about it. Next up on What's Trending, Shohei Ohtani. His reps deny comment on whether or not they are reporting the theft from Ipay, the translator. What's interesting about this is his staff got asked, hey, to which authorities are you reporting this theft? And they denied comment on that. Of course, we want to know, because you want to make sure you're actually reporting the theft, because you're going to need details on how the theft took place, which is obviously the thing that's hanging up whether or not every part of Shohei's story adds up, or if only part of Shohei's story adds up. You and I have suggested our own personal theories on what we thought took place, but just avoiding the questions forever only invites more skepticism.
Next up on What's Trending, John Calipari not going anywhere. He will stay at the University of Kentucky for another season. There was some speculation about his future after another disappointing year. Buyout is over $30 million. Their AD came out yesterday and said, no, he's coming back for another season. This is going to be the story for the rest of his career at Kentucky. Like, anytime there's a disappointing year, he's going to be on the hot seat. And the question will be eventually, is this the last straw? And you know, next year, if they're not into the Sweet 16 at least, and therefore the second weekend, I think there's a good chance they actually move on from him. But Coach Cal not leaving Kentucky this year. And there's multiple reports that maybe Louisville has hired their next head coach, although it's not official. Pat Kelsey seems to be the hot name. He was at the College of Charleston, and I believe before that was at Winthrop. And don't ask how I know that, except Bill Self had like a fantasy basketball camp once, and this coach was part of that. Back when he was very, very young. I drove him to a restaurant once when I was helping with the fantasy basketball camp.
Nice.
I was a chauffeur for Pat Kelsey and Dino Gaudio. Remember that coach?
Yeah.
That also got, I think he got sued.
Yeah, I think he did too.
Didn't he get sued?
Yeah. You're going way back.
Yeah, this was like 2012.
Next up on What's Trending, according to reports, Jeff Passan saying that catcher Will Smith and the Los Angeles Dodgers are in agreement on a 10-year, $120 million extension to keep the catcher in L.A. Look, he's a perfectly good catcher. You know what it is? Like, he's played 130 games each of the last two seasons. He gets on base at about a 360 clip, which is really nice, but also easier to do if you're the Dodgers. He's hit 25, 24, 19 home runs each of the last 2 years. 10-year extension? He's 28 years old. They can just give money to whoever.
They're just deferring money to?
The hell they want. Probably. Dude, I don't know. But they gave him a 10-year, $120 million extension.
Maybe like he knows the real scoop on Ohtani, and he said, hey, give me my 10-year contract or else.
I like how the, 50th highest paid contract in Dodgers history would be the second highest paid contract in Royals history, by the way.
Yeah.
They just gave it to a catcher. Like, yeah, sure, here's $120 million. That's pretty much nothing to us. Jeff Passan the same day, by the way, if you want to go over to ESPN+, he's got an article up about the payroll disparity in Major League Baseball and how it's, I hate to bring it to everybody's surprise, growing. It's gotten worse. Not better or the same. Worse by a mile. Thanks to the Dodgers. And a lot of other teams, but the damn Dodgers.
That's,
and the Mets and a million dollars.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Royal Stadium project, because today they put out a new statement, they being the committee on question one that wants to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County. Because yesterday there was a quote from Mayor Quinn Lucas that while he was in favor of the Crossroads location, or good with it, I guess, he was not in favor or supportive of closing Oak Street. And if you remember from the original ballpark district plans for the Crossroads site, it looked like they're going to have to close Oak Street. Like, it would be much more difficult.
It's going to be a traffic problem.
To travel in the area. Well, today, the Royals came out and said, no, we've actually agreed to change our plans, saying, this is John Sherman, a quote from him. I want to thank Mayor Quinn Lucas for his leadership and tireless advocacy as we work to make the best possible ballpark district in downtown Kansas City. We have been listening to members of the Crossroads community and had thoughtful conversations with the mayor and city council to improve the ballpark district impact. Through these conversations, we have come to realize the importance of keeping Oak Street open. We acknowledge Oak Street is an integral part of the downtown experience, and therefore, we agree to change the ballpark district design to keep Oak Street open. We look forward to working with the mayor and city council to begin this joint effort. So that is a change before the election on Tuesday. And
it's not going to be the last change. I think that's what my hang up is.
Yeah. So change in financial stuff. No, but are there going to be changes to the renderings and stuff over the next 4 years? Of course there's going to be. Mayor Lucas had not wanted Oak Street to be impacted by this for quite some time. And today the Royals made the change because the initial renderings had Oak Street in that was going to be a street that was disrupted.
Yeah. And so I guess what I don't understand is, and this is maybe just what we pointed out, where no's are no's no matter what, and there's nothing to be done about it, Gold, because I immediately saw people hating on this. Oh, changing things before the election, are we? This is why we needed more time to determine these things. Look, I don't know how to break this to anybody. Whether you're voting yes or no, in the 5 years it'll take, or 4 years it'll take to get this project built, other parts of the project will change. The funding won't, but some things about the design, some things about the layout, location, types of businesses, like those things are fluid. The financial part is not fluid, and the amount they're going to commit, I do not think, is really fluid, other than if they commit more, in my opinion. But keeping Oak Street open is something that people who were against this were against. This is a concession, including the mayor. I do think that keeping Oak open is a good idea. I think this is a good decision by the Royals. I don't know why you would hate this if you're no, fine, but you should like this part of it still.
I think it's a good thing they're going to keep Oak Street open. I agree with you. I'll play devil's advocate a little bit. I think the frustration is, hey, the mayor for over a month said that he was concerned about disrupting Oak Street. Why did you wait until inside of a week?
Probably takes a lot of meetings.
I'm playing devil's advocate because I don't have a problem with it, but I'm just telling you, I think that is the criticism that some have with why now. But yes, there's going to be other logistical type of changes, and certainly the renderings are going to change. by the time we get to opening day, if it actually passes on Tuesday, first and foremost, by the time we get to opening day in 2028, which is their target deadline for that location for Crossroads, Crossroads Ballpark. But yeah, that was just an update today. It's a big update because it was, as you said, it was actually a concern of a lot of people, a traffic flow patterns and what that could do for downtown and the experience of downtown. My guess is, so if you're wondering like, okay, so if they're going to keep Oak Street open, how are they pulling that off? Do they go over close? You know, does this extend a little bit more to the
longer?
Cap? Yeah. Does, you know, the 670 cap,
maybe
does it have to extend a little bit closer to that?
Maybe just have a few less businesses. You know what I'm saying? Like
something.
It could just shrink the size a hair. Like, no, someone says, wait, the location is fluid? No, the footprint.
Yeah.
The stadium location is not. The footprint
of the ballpark district.
The ballpark district and the businesses around it is. Those things are always fluid. And they raised a lot of concerns. Like, we don't want Oak Street closed. There's not enough room or space or all these things around there to manipulate that. So we want to close. And then eventually the roads are like, all right, sounds good. We get it. My guess is Golden. That's fair. Like, I think from step one of this process, you could have easily just said, what the hell's taking so long? You know, like, all of it. Every single piece of it. In this case, if it's a month ago that Lucas is like, hey, we don't really love the idea of closing Oak, I think it takes a lot of means to be like, what is a way in which we reconfigure parts of our plan that eliminates the need to close Oak Street? And
yeah,
then that's
also
the case.
I think some of it is now inside of a week of the election. Your any concern, which is what should happen, any concern or anything they think they can still fix to ease concerns for people, they're going to try to make sure they're going to do that and put the message out like any campaign would, by the way, as people are about to and some
Absolutely.
Already are going to the polls. You know, I mean, if you were concerned about something, if they think they can alleviate that concern or provide more clarity, just because you're inside of a week of the election doesn't mean you stop working. Like, I think that's my part where I don't get a little bit of the frustration on, well, why are they doing it now? Yes, but also, so are they not supposed to still be working for a best solution? They're supposed to just stop?
No, you don't want them to improve the project in ways that in which you want? Like, that's the thing I don't understand. Let's just say, and look, this person on the text, I'm like, are they adding a roof?
Well, not for a baseball stadium.
No. But if they did, would that be, you know, like, would you be mad that it added cost? Would you be, like, the whole thing about, like, the Crossroads, because, like, the East Village site. I think some groups that are no are like, we hate the site. But if they said, hey, we're going to put it in East Village, but we want all the same things, they'd still hate it. Like, do you, every, yes. I don't love every single part of this plan. Gold, you have said you would have preferred the East Village location.
Yeah.
There are parts of these plans, always parts of these plans, that we don't like too, or parts. But if they improve one of the parts I like, why am I here complaining about that part? Like, I should just, I mean,
yeah, I don't know how many people are now all of a sudden seeing Oak Street open or like, you know what, I was a no and now I'm a yes.
No.
But
look, by that same argument, I don't understand why, like, Slugger and Casey Wolford all the vote yes stuff.
Yeah,
is Slugger just convincing you to vote yes?
No, that's just
Casey Wolf
thing.
Convincing you to say
an
yeah
thing.
If Slugger's not there, no deal.
I'm just imagining, like, little Timmy's like, I don't want to lose Slugger. Dad, please. Like, no, obviously they don't think that that's what happened.
Papa, like, please vote for the stadium expansion. I can't lose Slugger to Kansas. Please, Papa.
The image of that is hilarious. I don't think that's why they have Slugger out, but that's hilarious. That's
No, but I'm just laughing at the idea that that's somehow a thing. By the way, what the hell? What's taking so long on Legarius Needs deal being official?
Well, I mean,
I get worried every single second that it's not like official, like on a report.
The team
official.
The team tweeted out the trade though, right?
Yeah, they did.
So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I can't answer that. I don't know why. I would say Rappaport yesterday said the deal is done. He said the deal is done.
Yes.
And he said $55 million guaranteed, 4-year deal, $20 million signing bonus. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's done.
Just waiting for that.
But just like
official
the, but just
I think
like
there's
the
like a little contract.
Just
stuff.
Like the Chris Jones situation. The Chiefs went ahead and tweeted out that the deal was done, but the actual final, like, true crossing the T's, dotting the I's thing wasn't done yet. My guess, to answer your question, like, the deal, Rapport's saying
the extension's done, but they got to get the little,
like, what escalators are in here? Are there incentives for this or that?
For snaps played
that kind
because
of
the injury? By the way, I forgot to mention earlier, I'm looking at this Vienna beef box again.
Yeah.
Did you see that they're also sponsoring the hot dog race? So, as far as I'm concerned, fresh hot dog race, chance to be 1-0
I've told you.
Versus winless. Well, that's fine. You can retire.
I'm retiring 1-0.
I'm not going to stop running until you win in one? This stupid hot dog race until I actually win it.
You could be running
until
for a while.
Until I win this thing, I am racing in it every second until every year until I win it. I'm not giving up until I get the chip.
Yeah, you so know, the only that's way. It. So I'm retired, like Carrington. Him and I have the same stance on this. He's 1-0. I'm 1-0. I'm retired. The only way I will come out of condiment race retirement is it if it, at the new stadium suddenly it's a barbecue sauce race. Problem is, new stadium, I'm gonna be really old and washed by the time the new stadium
if
it opens.
Yeah, you need other people who are washed to race with.
That's
you.
Right. Drew, next year, if you're in the race, I don't know, maybe Speck will have Carrington in the race or something.
No, I'm in the race every year until I win.
But, I'll be honest, I would love to not be in the race, but
why wouldn't you want to be in?
You guys, because last time I was getting choked clean.
I would still trade costumes with you right now, man. I'm telling you, the ability to see matters. Gold gets an advantage in that. You got in it. Being able to, I slowed down because I thought I was going to die into the dugout.
Some of us wanted it more, man. You know, some of us were willing to, willing to risk it all, you know, to win.
But you could see you didn't have to risk it all. Only I had to risk it all because I couldn't see a damn thing.
I would trade that suit with you in a heartbeat because after I was done, you saw I had a welt on my neck. I was getting choked.
I would trade it in a heartbeat. And I also would like to be invited to race every year until I win. Please, Papa.
Just imagining. Yeah, it's just like, this is a kid.
I don't know why I make him sound like
I did see there was an article that said, so because it's an issue with sports teams on the ballot, so if you're in Jackson County and you go to the polls, you can wear Chiefs or Royals gear.
Oh, but if you're a poll worker,
you're not allowed to wear Chiefs or Royals gear. And if you're someone going like anything, you can't wear a shirt that says vote yes, even if you're a voter. You can wear a Mahomes jersey. You can't wear a Mahomes jersey that has a giant says vote yes on it.
But could you imagine trying to police the number of people in this city just rocking a Chiefs shirt or Royal shirt to go vote? Impossible.
Yeah, that's why they're not.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, it could have been done anyway.
They said if you walk into a poll in location and you are wearing like a vote yes thing or something, they'll just ask you to, you know, turn the shirt inside out or something like that.
But someone says, I hope Cody Tapp is in the race 40 years. When and if the three sales tax ends the next one. I'll just be honest with you. I'm 39 years old now. If you think I'm making it 40 years in this business, not a chance.
Excellent says you're relishing
be dead
the opportunity.
Or been fired long before that.
Excellent says you're relishing the opportunity to get choked.
I've been in two different condiments, both losers.
Yeah. I'm 2-0.
Maybe I've been in mustard both times.
I'm 2-0 in condiment races, technically. 1-0 in Kansas City, 1-0 in a potato race, okay? I was a spud. I was a spud in Idaho.
What were
the
other two potatoes? Did you have an advantage in that one, too?
I need to text someone and get the answer again on this.
There
was a fry, a spud, and something else, and I'm trying to remember what the hell the other one was. Jim State potato, Idaho. Jim State. I think one was a Jim. One was a gym, one was a fry, and one was a spud.
Gold's never denied. The costumes are best designed for, like, someone at least 6 feet tall, but I think more like your height. I think your height might be the perfect height. You're not too tall, so it's awkward, but you're not short enough that you can't see, if that makes sense. You're screwed if you're way too short. You're just like, it won't work. And they don't let you do it if you're too tall. Like, if you're, like, I think above 6'5 or 6'6. Something like that. They don't let you put in the costume.
Yeah,
I guess I got to find out. How
often do they wash the costumes? We went in July. It was
little
ripe.
Rank.
It was ripe.
Yeah.
Back when I could smell still, I would have appreciated the last 2 months of not smelling during that race.
They claim they clean them, but I think they do. But I just think the stench is like ingrained. It's like permanently soaked into the fabric. To the point that no amount of washes.
It was so strong, and it was just hot. So we were sweating.
I was
going
to say from June, I don't know how often they have the races, but from
most Saturday nights, is that what it is, or something? Cody?
From May through August, I mean, and you're sitting because we were back there for.
Oh, we were sweating.
We were back there for a half hour.
Sweat. It was humid that night.
It was hot.
Because I think the Royals had
bases
loaded.
And it was a long inning. The Royals kept trying to score.
Yeah. Oh, no. When the race was over and we went back underneath the stadium or whatever, could not wait to take off the hot dog costume.
Yeah. Listener Blair saying he'd smoke me in the race. Yeah, probably.
He's 47.
No,
he looks better than me. Cody. He looks like he probably works out more.
Cody, this is the epitome of I can do better than you at this. I know it's not your job, but you would win the race.
Between me and you?
Between you and Blair.
Oh, wow. I think you're discounting Blair's willingness to risk everything in order to win that race.
So anyway, we'll see. I don't know if we're going to have a live hot dog race tomorrow.
You would have won the race. You would have won.
I got scared.
I was this close to diving. They would have been so mad at me. I was so close.
They don't want you to do that. No. They would prefer that you did not.
Not supposed to do that at a Kauffman Stadium.
Great race, though. Dean. Another great race from us, you know? We keep them close.
How bad do you want it? I didn't want it enough.
That's right.
At that point, even if I did lose, they would have said, you're not allowed to do this.
Someone
again.
Says, are you beating me in a hot dog race on 5'3"? Absolutely. You'd have no chance. You'd be looking at the inside of a costume.
I honestly don't think you can do it.
I think you'd fall.
Well, I don't know if they'd even let you race.
You have to be like at least 5'6" or 7". There's a minimum height, too. Unless you're in the kids' costume. Maybe they let you race the kids.
Wait, they do like a...
They have the little dog race.
Little dog race?
Yeah, don't you remember after I bombed the race 2 years ago, and then like 2 days later did a hot dog race, and that poor kid, that kid's pants fell down.
Oh,
and then
no.
He fell, and it was a mess.
That's what
Mustard
I was...
Mustard was cursed for months after my first loss.
I was worried about that. Because if you watch the video of our race, there's a moment where I reached down and got, it felt like my pants were about to fall down too.
Yeah.
But they're not really because you've got another, it's not your, yeah. Anyway.
It's just the hot dog pants.
I hope they do one tomorrow. I hope they do a live hot dog derby for opening day tomorrow. I don't know who's in it. I know Andy Reid's throwing out the first pitch, but I don't know who's actually running.
If they don't have anyone in it, okay, I'll do it.
We'll step in. You'll step in.
I'll step in for opening day. Put me back in the hot dog costume and I'll give it another go. Mm-hmm. But I would like the one with either the broken... If there's one with a broken neck, I'd like it. If that makes sense.
If there's one with a broken neck...
The one that he had. If Roush is still broken, if they didn't fix it in the offseason, I'd like that.
Good luck, Cody. I don't know if the odds will be in your favor with that.
I don't know.
No,
Next time, I'm going to scout it ahead of time with Vern.
You would catch a second wind, and you would feel like you're catching up, but then you would just get choked. And No, at the end, Gold... Yeah.
See, we've talked about Drew's couch today.
Hot dogs.
Choking. Hot dogs.
Well...
Guy eating a leg. It's got to be something else.
And donuts.
Coke party porch.
Mm-hmm.
Donuts. We covered all. You know what? Good show.
And you guys had to haul it.
It was pretty much a three-hour show.
And we were in Independence this morning and then had to drive back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
If you need gear for tomorrow for opening day, go to Rally House. They had a ton of great stuff out there today. We're sorry we couldn't be there, but they have excellent, excellent selection for your opening day needs for the Royals.
And tomorrow we're live out at Kauffman Stadium outside Gate D getting set for opening day. Royals general manager JJ Piccolo going to be on the show. Vern, Ryan Lefevre. Royals baseball tomorrow right here on 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.